All right, it is Wednesday, and we're returning to learning more about the power of intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. You're going to want to tune in today. It's about being kind. So hang on. Here we go. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'm Gabbin Gale, and this is a Gale Foley Show where I interview people sharing their success stories and their passion, inspiring you on your journey to success. And in between interviews, I'll share motivational moments, always cheering you on as you achieve your mission. So be sure to subscribe to my channel, The Gale Foley Show, and hit me up on Twitter at Gale Foley, hashtag Gabbin Gale. So speaking of Gabbin, let's get on with it. Hello, it's me, Gabbin Gale, here with the words of wisdom from Wayne Dyer's book, The Power of Intention, Learning to Co-Create Your World Your Way. Now, if you just plugged in for the first time today, let me share with you a little bit what my show is about. First of all, I am Gabbin Gale, and I do profess to help grow your business. And how do I possibly do that? Well, in a couple different ways. One is Monday through Thursday, I share with you some of my life lessons that I have experienced as I've traveled through several careers and many years of working in the business world. Also included in that would be networking. I have been part of a network marketing company for the last 8 years, still receive a nice residual from it, but I decided that there was a better way for me to help people than the great service I was offering. It is a very beneficial service, but I really didn't feel I was getting the word out there enough, and my program helped other businesses. So how can I extend that in a bigger, farther reach than in my backyard or just my Facebook connections? So I embarked on a journey last year to learn internet marketing. That was quite the fizzle for me. Turns out that's not really my thing. But I did attend a mastermind event where I met a podcaster. And I'd had this idea to bring people to an interview platform where then we would share the link to the recorded call. But when he showed me podcasting, I fell in love. So I bring those lessons through the podcasting format every day. And then on Fridays, I have the extreme blessing to interview people of their success stories. Now, here's the deal. You can find a lot of podcasters out there, talk show hosts, video hosts, you name it, that are going after the people at the top of the success mountain. I am talking to people on the way up the success mountain because I truly believe that all of us have a success journey or have a success story on our journey to the top of that mountain. Unfortunately, a lot of people never get to share their story because at some point in their lives, something comes along and derails them, or they change directions, or life just happens and they don't make it to the highest pinnacle where they're recognized as the person that everybody wants to hear from. I think everyone needs to be heard from. And so I invite people at a different level to come and share their success stories. And oh, I am meeting amazing, amazing people, and sharing their stories is such a gift for me because we then share it with our social media connections. I share it with mine. They share it with them. It's sort of a joint venture. Without us talking specifically about our products, we do talk about people's products, their website, we give contact information. So if it stirs something up in you and you want to know more, you're going to find their information on my website. That's thegalefoleyshow.com. And you'll find them under the guest categories. I always put their bio on there. I put their connections on there. And here's what I'd really like to ask of you if you're tuning in for the first time or if you've been on here many times, please do us all a big favor and give me a review on iTunes. That helps bring more audience to us. Put a like on the page, follow us, comment. Anytime you listen to any of these shows, you are expanding our audience. So just think of it this way. One day you might be interviewed Would you like to have a huge audience listening to your story? So that's what we do together. It's all a collaboration. And I truly believe that if we hold hands and we share positivity, inspiration, and motivation out in the world, that we can truly make a difference. So I pray each and every day that my show might touch someone's life. If something I've experienced is something you're experiencing, maybe I can give you a shortcut to not going the path that might be more problematic than the other path. So that's my show. And I do my little station break at the beginning because I get in a flow here and I have trouble stopping. So what we're talking about right now is one of my favorite books of all times is The Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I'm going to repeat this for those of you who have just tuned in, but this is one of my favorite books. I read books constantly on personal development. One such book changed my life over 30 years ago. So I really do believe in the written word. I didn't discover Dr. Wayne Dyer for many years. I don't know why, but he wasn't introduced to me. But once I discovered him, I started reading and listening to his wisdom. This book for me, I'm in my third reading, and this third reading I'm sharing with you because it has made a profound difference in my life because I have actually applied the instructions he's put in this book about how to actually live what he calls the seven faces of intention. And the first one we covered last week was be creative. And that to me, oh my goodness, when I'm creative and when I embrace my creative side, I am just so full of joy and passion and excitement and enthusiasm. It sets me on fire. And last year when I was involved in internet marketing, I was copying a lot of other people's materials. This is what our instructions were in order to get the feel for it. And I did my blogging, but it was always towards something else. It wasn't just me being creative. So with this venue, I get to be very creative and I'm absolutely loving it. So that's the first intention. Today's intention is be kind. This is one that I have embraced so wholeheartedly that last year doing my internet marketing, one of the things that I discovered is how much I love doing videos. And I was doing videos almost every single day. And one of the videos I did was about this particular face of intention, be kind. Unbeknownst to me, I was having a huge impact on people because I told a story that made me very emotional, and I don't hide my emotions. If I'm feeling something, it's coming out. I've been told I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I do, because I think emotions are very important in sharing a message that is a vital word of wisdom to share. And here's what Dr. Wayne Dyer says, a fundamental attribute of the supreme originating power is kindness. All that's manifested is brought here to thrive. It takes a kindly power to want what it creates to thrive and multiply. Were this not the case, then all that's created would be destroyed by the same power that created it. In order to reconnect to intention, you must be on the same kindness wavelength as intention itself. Make an effort to live in cheerful kindness. It's a much higher energy than sadness or malevolence, and it makes a manifestation of your desires possible. It's through giving that we receive. It's through acts of kindness directed towards others that our immune systems are strengthened and even our serotonin levels increase. Now, I don't know about you, but that got me right there. I'm in, I'm doing this, I'm going to figure out a way to be more kind. And you know, it doesn't have to be some profound act of heroism or, you know, being on TV saying, hey, I just contributed $1 million to this cause. No, kindness can be done in the simplest of ways. For example, my husband and I were in the car and we were driving to our accountant to get our taxes done. And we pull off this highway that really It pulls off into the country. There's a huge aircraft factory out there. But once you get past that, it's just nothing but country. And as we're coming down off the ramp, we're the first car on the edge of the road on this exit. And there's a man standing by the side of the road. I'm on the passenger side, and he comes walking towards my side of the car. And I roll my window down, and he says to me, he says, "Could you please help me? My car ran out of gas. Would you please call my son and tell him where I'm at?" Well, I took that card, and I immediately called. And I felt so good that I was able to help that person. That's all he wanted from us. He didn't want us to stay. He didn't want us to help him. He just wanted us to make that phone call. Well, in our suspicious world of today, we were a little bit hesitant. And I said to my husband, I says, "That's just so silly. We need to be kind because that should be our natural instinct." For example, when I go into a store, and I think every one of us can relate to this. I know that you may be listening to me on your cell phone. You may be listening to me on your radio in the car. You may be listening to me on your website. I don't know where you're listening to me, but I will share with you that I think one of the rudest things that our society does these days is to stand in line at a checkout counter and be talking on the phone. Do you realize that you are making that person that is waiting on you invisible, insignificant, and not worthy of so much as 2 minutes of your attention? So this drives me nuts in the first place. So when I'm standing in line at any store, I'm watching the interactions of that clerk and their customers. And there are so many times I'm standing behind somebody, I just want to tap them on the shoulder and say, "Please get off your phone and at least acknowledge this person who is helping you. Take care of your charges." So one day I came through the line, and I do this on a regular basis. This woman that was checking people out was not in a happy place. Her demeanor was, there was anger. There was just, she just was not having a good day. And so when people would come up there, they were engaging in this verbal conflict, and it wasn't necessarily the customer was having a problem or she was having a problem, but nobody was being kind to one another. They were just chewing on each other. The customer had a bad day, so they're going to chew on the clerk, and the clerk's having a bad day. So when I get up there, I looked at the clerk, and I said to her, I says, "You're not having a very good day, are you?" And she just stops what she's doing, and she looks at me. She says, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm not." And I said, "Well, I'm really, really sorry to hear that." I said, "I hope your day gets better." And she said, "It just did." That was a simple act of kindness, of just acknowledging this person was having a rough day. Just a few minutes ago, before I got on here, I was at a luncheon in network marketing. And I asked a friend how she was doing. She said, "Well, okay." I could hear in her voice when she said, "Okay," something wasn't okay. And I said to her, "So that wasn't a very positive okay. What's going on?" She's got an aunt that's dying. It's caring enough to be kind enough to listen, to watch other people's posture, to invest a few minutes of your time to be kind. And kindness is something that, like I said, doesn't take a whole lot of effort. And I want to share a story that he puts in this book. And I know this is the story that caused my audience with that video to choke up and shed a tear. And I did too. And so it may happen with me relating this story to you again. And you may have heard this story. But sometimes stories need to be heard more than one time, because maybe we heard that story and we were super busy and it didn't sink in. Or maybe you're in a bad place while you're listening to this and you need shook up and said, and you know, and hear this episode in a different way. So in this idea of extending kindness is a particularly relevant in how you deal with people who are helpless, elderly, mentally challenged, poor, disabled, and so on. These people are all part of God's perfection. And I need to do a side note right here, right now. The event that I just attended, the luncheon, was very much about this. It was a short video on our society employing people with disabilities. 75% of the people that are disabled are unemployed. Those that are employed rise way above expectations, and this movie was incredible. And I intend to find that video clip and put it on my website to go along with this video, because it was so powerful. There are companies out there that are embracing people with disabilities. They can be disabilities of blindness, of being in wheelchairs, of being mentally challenged, you name it. They're being hired because they want to work and work hard. But sometimes we have trouble acknowledging those people. Partly, I truly believe partly, because this is my thing, is you're not comfortable in their world because you don't know their world. But we can still be kind to people that we don't necessarily relate to because of different circumstances. But this story just absolutely, oh my goodness. And we've seen clips on TV about these different things. But this story is about a thing that happened in Brooklyn, a school that catered to learning disabled children. And this father's child came into the world and asked God, "Where is perfection in my son? Everything God does is with perfection. But my child cannot understand things as other children do. My child cannot remember facts and figures as other children do. Where is God's perfection?" The audience that this man was speaking to was shocked by the question and pained by the father's anguish and just absolutely stilled by his piercing query. The father goes on and says, "I believe that when God brings a child like this into the world, the perfection that he seeks is in the way people react to this child." He then shared this story of his son, how one afternoon he and his son, Shea, always walked around this park. And they were playing baseball, and Shea would ask his dad, "Do you think they'll let me play?" And his dad knew that he was not an athletic child and that it was very, very unlikely these boys would let him play. However, he just thought, you know what? I've just got to ask. Why? How do I know if I don't ask? So Shea's dad went over to the young man playing and he said, "My son would really like to play. Do you think that you guys could let him play?" So the boy looked around at his teammates to see what their thoughts were, and getting none, he finally said, "You know what? We're down by 6 runs, game's in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team, and we'll try to put him in up to bat in the 9th inning. Shea's dad was so ecstatic, he just couldn't believe it. He told Shea, and Shea was just grinning from ear to ear. They put the kid in. He goes out and plays in the center of the field, and they're in the bottom of the 8th inning, and Shea's team scores a few runs, but it was still behind by 3. They scored those runs, and then they decided that, you know what, we're in the bottom of the 9th inning. They scored again, and now they got 2 outs, and they have the bases loaded with a potential winning run on base. Shea, this young man who had a disability, was going to be up to bat. His dad's watching, he's thinking, there's just no way they're going to let this kid bat. My son isn't going to go up to bat. Guess what? They put Shea up to bat. Everybody knew there's going to be almost but impossible, because Shea didn't even know how to hold a bat properly, let alone hit a ball that's going to save their game. However, as Shea stepped up to the plate, the pitcher moved a few steps closer to lob the ball in softly so Shea could be at least able to make contact. First came in, he missed it. One of the players came up and showed him not only how to hold the bat, but he just sort of stood with him and used the bat together. As the pitch came in, Shea and his swingmate swung the bat together. They hit a ground ball to the pitcher. The pitcher picks up the ground ball and could easily have thrown the ball to the first base. Scherer would have been out, and that would have ended the game. Instead, the pitcher took the ball and threw it into a high arc to right field, far beyond the reach of the first baseman. Everyone started yelling, "Scherer, run to first, run to first." Never in his life had Scherer run to first. What was first? He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. By the time he reached first base, the right fielder had the ball. He could have thrown the ball to second baseman, who would tag out Scherer, who was running. But the right fielder understood the pitcher's intentions were, so he threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Everybody yelled, "Run to second, run to second." Scherer ran toward second base as the runners ahead of him deliriously circled the bases toward home. As Scherer reached second base, the opposing shortstop ran to him, turned him in the direction of third base, and shouted, "Run to third!" As Scherer rounded third, the boys from teams run behind him, screaming, "Scherer, run home, run home!" He ran home, he stepped on home base, and all 18 boys lifted him on their shoulders and made him the hero, and he had just hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. That day, his father said softly, with tears rolling down his face, "Those 18 boys reached their level of God's perfection." That's what kindness is, my friends. It's about caring enough to extend kindness to someone else in ways that just change someone else's life. And so I ask you today, while you're out and about, that you start putting kindness, even if you're a very kind person already, you can help others be more kind. I have some very kind people in my life, and I have great examples. My daughter is one of them. Amazing people. My husband. There are so many amazing people that kindness is second nature. If we embrace kindness as part of our nature, then that too will give that example to someone else that might not know that face of intention. So I just want to say happy April Fool's Day. No, yesterday was April Fool's Day. Well, I fooled you, didn't I? No, it's not April Fool's Day. Have an absolutely fabulous day. Next week, we'll be talking about the third or fourth face of intention. I lose track of the numbers because I'm just going by the chapters, and they're not numbered. But I hope you'll tune in again next week and hear what the next face of intention, because they're all very powerful, just like the title says, the power of intention. Learn to co-create your world your way. You want a kinder world? Be kinder to others. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that's a wrap on today's show. Remember, let's connect on Twitter at Gail Foley, hashtag GabandGail. And remember, you can visit thegailfoleyshow.com to subscribe to my channel so you won't miss a single inspirational moment. And please remember to share this with all your social media connections so that we can spread the word on something that might help someone else in their journey to success. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Gab and Gail asking you to do me one big favor. Pass on a smile today. It's contagious, you know. You'll make a difference in someone's life. Bye-bye.